Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preached this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
So a life of faith will require us to come to grips with the questions that life demands of us. These questions will not be easy. As the old adage goes, the truth will set you free, but not until she's done with you. Today, I want us to look at what it means to be honest in community and choose to grow together. You know, friends, we've been going through this series called Field Notes, where we've been looking at what deconstruction and reconstruction can look like in a Christian community. And deconstruction, for those of you who may not, know the church world, deconstruction is the process of taking the faith that was handed to you and shifting it and changing it, or questioning some of the things that you once held true. You know, last week, I was able to share my testimony to talk about how I grew up fundamentalist and grew up in sort of a world where there were set answers, right and wrong answers to everything in the world. And as I got older, I realized that some of those old answers didn't fit for me any longer. This is happening in our world. We're seeing this again and again, more people leaving the church because they feel as if they've outgrown their faith. And two different things often happen. The first is folks just stay in the church that they grew up in. They'll just kind of take the questions that they have and kind of push them down, sort of ignore them or try and push through them. Or on the other side, they'll start worshiping at another church, First Church of St. Mimosa, and go to brunch on Sunday mornings, right? And brunch is sort of getting an influx of Christians that used to go to church every Sunday, but instead are paying, you know, $18 for a lot of orange juice. And in this sort of split, we're finding that people end up missing community. But there's a third way. A third way that I think Shepherd's provides and a few other churches, but I hope you can hear today that Shepherd's offers this. This space in between of just staying and being silent or leaving altogether and missing out on community. It's this third space. And it says this, it's at Shepherd's, belonging won't require you to be less of yourself. It requires bravery. At Shepherd's, belonging won't require you to be less of yourself. It requires bravery. To truly belong requires us to grapple with the questions that we have, to not be afraid of conflict, but instead be willing to take that step, be willing to be in community, be willing to be in that uncomfortable space and a chance to grow together. Like I said, last week, I got to share my testimony. I love that I got to share all of my testimony. I didn't have to polish my testimony to be church appropriate. I got to share all of what has gone well and has not gone well in my life, the ups, the downs, in-betweens, the doubts that I carried, the doubts that I still carry, the pain. I got to bring all of that to you. And it wasn't, I didn't then have a meeting with the elders of the church to discuss all the problems that I shared. But instead, I was met with other people that said, oh yeah, I have a similar story as that. Oh wow, it was so wonderful to hear a pastor tell a story that sounds so similar to mine. I'm so glad that I get to share my whole self with all of you. And then at the point of sharing my testimony, the main point that I wanted you to take away is that nothing can separate you from the love of God. This has been a series that for more than usual, you know, I always try and preach pretty good. I know what I said. And I try to bring good sermons, but this has been a series more than any other that I've heard people say, I've sent this to my friend, I've sent this to my brother, I've sent this to someone I used to go to church with and they left the church. I shared it with them because I want them to hear which I'm so grateful for. We actually have a podcast. So if you're on Apple Music or Spotify or any place you get a podcast, it's called It's Better When You're Here. If you weren't here last week, I would actually encourage you to go back and listen to last week's sermon, because it sort of lays the groundwork of what I want to call like Christian deconstruction and reconstruction. This idea that like our faith is strong enough that we can ask questions, and our faith is actually resilient enough that we can build it back up. And then our first week in the series, I promised that if we honestly seek after God, we will find God. That's the other part that Christian deconstruction and reconstruction offers to us, is that we're able to actually seek after God and to know God better by asking questions. We don't have to fear losing our connection with God. But this week, I want us to talk about something we touched on last week, and that is knowing Christ requires community. The thing about a Christian walk is that you cannot do it on your own. You can do it poorly, but you're never really going to know Christ, connect with Christ, unless you do so in community. I do not love hurricanes. They're not fun at all. And the morning after a hurricane is gone is kind of my favorite time to be a Floridian. Let me explain. Number one, it's a little bit cooler out. I don't know what happens. It might be that inside the house is 95 degrees, so outside in 87 feels pretty good. But the air is a little bit cooler, a little less humid, right? But it also becomes the time where we go out and we talk to our neighbors, because we look up and we see that a tree limb's on our roof and we don't have a chainsaw, but our neighbor two houses down does. You know this because even though you don't know the man's name, you hear him going on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. And instead of cursing his name, you instead decide to walk down and go, "Hey, friend, because you don't know his name. And you're like, "Hey, would you mind getting this tree limb off of my house?" You know, we realize the day after a hurricane that we do actually need each other. Because we sometimes create this myth in our minds that we could do everything on our own, and we don't actually need other people. And so I don't like hurricanes, but I do like the morning after a hurricane. At Shepherd's, belonging won't require you to be less of yourself. It will require bravery. Our passage today comes from Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 7. Here at Shepherd's, we have a tradition where the reader will say, "This is the word of God for us, the people of God." Then all of you will say, "Thanks be to God." But we like to add a little extra oomph on the end. And so we say, "Thanks be to God. Woo!" So be ready with your woo. All right. Hear the word of the Lord. "Therefore, as a prisoner for the Lord, I encourage you to live as people worthy of the call you received from God. Conduct yourselves with all humility, gentleness, and patience. Accept each other with love and make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. You are one body and one Spirit, just as God also called you in one hope. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. God has given his grace to each of us, each one of us measured out by the gift that is given by Christ." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Very good. So why does this passage exist? Why does Ephesians exist? Well, this was written by the Apostle Paul to the early church. And the thing about the early church is that it was made up of these difficult things that are called people. I don't know if you've heard of people, if you've ever met people. They have these terrible things called opinions. They have these wonderful things called personalities. And they have these messy things called relationships. And these people, pretty much as soon as the church is founded, begin to argue with each other. The early church was, the Greek term is, a hot mess. They were a wicked hot mess. They had all these arguments, these complaints against one another. They had these problems. And Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul to sort of untangle the Christmas lights of these complaints and these frustrations. It was filled to the brim with people. As such, they had major ups and downs, arguments, broken hearts, failures. This passage is written by Paul to show the Ephesians that they can actually come back from the conflict that they have. And beyond that, that if they're going to build real community, they're going to have to share who they are in this one love, this one baptism, and understanding that there is one Lord over, in, and through all of them. That it's not going to be something they're going to be able to do on their own. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, my friends, will make you want to be a monk on a mountain by yourself, quite like people, right? You ever go to like Black Friday sale or something like that, or the outlet store by Disney, and you're like, I think I want to live on a deserted island. I think I want to eat coconut for the rest of my life and just let it be that way. You know, Paul was executed by the Roman government. He didn't live a very long life. But friends, I think if Rome didn't get to him, the church would have beforehand. You know, I think he wouldn't have made it. You read some of his older letters, and it sounds like he spent most of the time pulling what hair was left out of his head, trying to explain the basics of how to get along to these churches. The church was a hot mess. This passage teaches us community is messy. Community is messy. To build a community is something that is required of all human beings, and community is messy. But here at Shepherds, belonging won't require you to be less of yourself. It will require bravery. So I talked about this just a little bit at the beginning of my sermon, but the biggest thing we can lose in deconstruction is our community. We lose community when we walk away from church. If we outgrow the church who raised us, we can end up feeling abandoned. I grew up in a fundamentalist church, and when we moved to Florida from Boston, we got real crazy liberal and became Southern Baptists, right? Yeah, the joke there is, you get it. And so we show up at the Southern Baptist Church, and these people love me. Oh my gosh, did they love me. They love me so well. We had a youth pastor that knew the power of video games, and he had all four of the newest consoles behind a glass wall in the youth room. So we had like a PlayStation 1. We had a Nintendo GameCube. The millennials understand how crazy this is. And like an Xbox One that you had to like start with a hand crank, basically. And you would play these video. I was in there. I was on the grind. I was trying to get better at Smash Brothers. I was very good at Halo. I was trying to do these things. And the door was always open to me. And I would go to school and I would feel like an outsider, and I would show up in the youth room and I'd feel like an insider. People were excited to see me there. I was known, I was loved, I was seen. And then as I got older, as I began to realize the things that were being taught to me from the pulpit and from small groups, and I realized that that didn't reflect what I understood in the Bible. It didn't reflect what I knew in my relationships with the people around me. It didn't fit with where I was as a human being. I felt like I stayed the same, but my church moved, and I felt left behind. I felt abandoned. And when we deconstruct and reconstruct, we can feel as if we looked around and all of a sudden, all those connections that meant the world to us, that made us feel at home, made us feel seen, all those connections are gone. The reason Shepherds is here is to be a community that you cannot, that cannot be outgrown, because we will grow with you. We as a church, I'm lucky enough as your pastor to know that some of you, where you're at in your faith journey, some of you, you and Jesus are like this, and you guys walk in lockstep every single day. And some of you, I know, come here and you're like, can I still come? I don't even know if I believe Jesus existed. By the way, we're so glad you're here. And in that span, everyone's at different locations throughout their faith journey. They don't know where they are. And it reminds me, well, my algorithm right now on social media is like a lot of like cute puppy videos. Love those. Orthodox Christian worship services. I don't know why that's there. Maybe they're waiting for me to like hop ship and join another team. And then the last, and I think it's because I'm a 37-year-old man and they're ready for my midlife crisis, it's like carpentry videos. It's like a guy with a big beard in the foothills of West Virginia sanding wood and until it's shiny, right? And I just, oh man, do I watch the heck out of those videos, man. 2 hours in, all of a sudden I'm like, he's making a desk. And it makes me so happy. But the thing about those videos is that through the time lapse, you can see a hunk of wood turn into an heirloom. Our Christian walk, so often, I think we expect that we start going to church and we're an heirloom. That we're like this timeless sort of thing with a deep, meaningful connection to Jesus that can never be taken away and can never be challenged. It's so strong that it can never be knocked down. When in reality, friends, a lot of us are still hunks of wood that need a good sanding. The Apostle Paul says that we should work out our faith in fear and trembling. To me, when I hear that, I think of the wood in those videos getting sanded and polished and oiled, getting lovingly worked on, sanded, the rough bits getting removed, the smoother bits being brought to the surface, this process of working out our faith. The Apostle Paul also says that at the end of his life that he has run the good race and he has fought the good fight. The thing about races is that they keep going. You know, they do have an end, but they're a thing that you're in process with. What the Apostle Paul never says is, I am so glad that I signed up to be a Christian and then never had to do anything about it ever again. That's not what a Christian faith is. It requires work for us to polish and to grow. But here at Shepherd's, we anticipate that. Here at this church, we expect you to be working on your faith, to be growing, to be changing. One of these days, you're going to come in and say, hey, Pastor Michael, I don't know what I believe. I think I know this, I believe this, but I don't know if I believe that any longer. That is the beginning of a conversation for us. And so often in deconstruction, it can feel as if that is the end of a conversation in a church. Not so with Shepherd's. Because at Shepherd's, belonging won't require you to be less of yourself. It will require bravery. And we're reading this book called Field Notes, and it talks a little bit in one of the chapters that I used to influence my sermon this morning. It talked at good length about the power of individualism. You know, I love being an American. Like I do, I love my nation. I love the culture that comes along with that, the individuality that comes with that. I love that I get to be the sort of creative oddball and I feel like that is expected in the United States. So you're going to be your individual. You're going to wear a cowboy hat and ride your horse to work, and you're going to be a maverick, and you know, all those things. And there are good things about that. But sometimes our culture demands strength and independence. When independence is honored above all else and community is seen as a weakness, we end up isolated. That is the formula. That when strength and independence is seen as the greatest value and that community and dependence is seen as some sort of weakness, we end up isolated. So often I talk to people that are struggling so deeply with something that I know someone else has also come out on the other side of. When I find out, when I have this conversation, by the time they've made an appointment to meet with me, they have been suffering for so long. And I just say, why didn't you say something? And you know what I hear so often? I just didn't want to be a bother. Friends, hear this. If you call Shepherd's home, or if this is your first Sunday at Shepherd's, and you know, whatever, you are never a bother. You aren't a bother. That old sort of quip, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. Here you are, you're not heavy, you're my sibling. I don't care what you're carrying. There's someone here that's carried it before and will happily pick it up. But friends, when community is seen as a weakness, we end up isolated. I've got this quote from Bell Hooks, and it says this: we have to beware of the extent to which liberal individualism has actually been an assault on community. The notion that real freedom is about not being interdependent, when the genuine staff of life is our interdependency, is our capacity to feel both and for ourselves and other people. I love that, the staff of life. I do wonder if the book that we're reading had a misprint and is supposed to be Stuff of Life, but I'm going to lean into it as if it's staff. If you use a staff to get around, it is something that supports you. It doesn't walk for you. It requires your own strength and power to still move around, but that staff keeps you upright. That's why I love the morning after hurricanes. It reminds us that the very staff of life, the very encouragement that we need to keep going, is our interdependence to others, our reliance on others and their reliance on us. So when we keep ourselves guarded, when we shy away from being our whole selves, the church loses strength and we lose vibrancy. When we keep ourselves guarded and reserved, when we push others back, when we feel as if we can't let anyone in, we end up missing out on the very staff of life. You see, at Shepherd's, belonging won't require you to be less of yourself. It will require bravery. So when the early church was founded, you know, when people started calling themselves Christians, that had never happened before. A lot of Christians were Jewish believers that believed Jesus was the Messiah. And then there were all these Gentiles that started showing up, people that weren't Jewish. And they started to be like, well, what do we call ourselves? We're not really a synagogue. We're definitely not a temple. What should we call ourselves? And they came up with this word. Now, as a Methodist pastor, I was not required to learn Greek. So if you know Greek, very cool. But I'm going to try my best with this word. And what they decided to call themselves was ecclesia. Everyone say ecclesia. Ecclesia. Yeah, very good. So if you take that Greek word and you split it up and you look at the two parts of it, Greek is very helpful that way. You can do that. The first word is kaleo. Everyone say kaleo. And that means to call. If someone's down the road and you need to get their attention, you're going to kaleo them. You're going to kaleo to them. You're going to call them. And then the second word is ek. Everyone say ek. Ek is out of, right? So that means out of. So you're going to ek something out of something else, okay? So the church are the people who are called out. Kaleo, ek, ecclesia. We are the people who are called out. So what does that mean? It means we are called to make community, but not like how the world does. We're called to make community, but not like how the world makes community. I was lucky enough to serve a church in South Tampa, beautiful community where a lot of the people that came to that church were involved in local clubs. So the country club, or since it's Tampa, maybe a crew or something like that. So they understood what membership was like. I'll paint this picture. I was a youth pastor, and every spring we would lose a bunch of middle schoolers to something called cotillion. I don't know if any of you were fancy enough to go to cotillion, but I weren't. And cotillion is where middle schoolers learn how to dance and how to use which fork and how to dress up and all those things. I loved when cotillion came, not because all the kids left, but when they started coming back, sometimes they would come in their cotillion outfits. And so the girls were always so happy because they were in like pretty dresses, and the boys would show up in suits and it looked like they were made out of fiberglass. They were like, I'm so uncomfortable. You know, they're wearing basically their, you know, like the suit that they hate to wear. But anyways, this community, they would understand membership. And so sometimes people would come to me and they would say, are these probationary members? You know, have they done all of the steps to become a real member of the church? Sometimes people would ask me, what is the membership fee at this church? And I was like, I don't know, what is it? And there would be that sort of model of understanding what membership was. And that's what community is in the world. Another thing that you can be a part of in this world are political parties. And sometimes those political parties will have membership dues, but more importantly, they'll have the dues of your mind. You know, you have to hold to the teachings of that political party. It's not like you can get into a political party and then be like, you know, guys, what if we stopped having an elephant and we started having a peacock? Like, wouldn't that be great? No. The expectation is for you to kind of step into line. You know, you can't show up and be like, guys, donkeys are dumb. Let's get a big, beautiful horse or something. You know, you can't just like start changing the things that these political parties believe. And so membership, community, ecclesia, community for the people called out, then becomes something different than the world. Not something that's based off of your membership fee, or even worse, that you walk in lockstep with the leadership, but rather a membership of the heart. In the world, we can craft these little echo chambers of people that we like. Social media has done this so well and so terribly, friends. You see something you don't like, you just hit those three little buttons and you go, mute. And then you've muted someone made in the image of God that you don't really like. And friends, that's okay in social media, but they have yet, and I keep checking the message boards to see if this happens, to invent a mute button in real life. You know, we will continue to hear people that we don't like or say things that we disagree with. In the church, we are called out of comfort and into belonging. Churches can be echo chambers, right, friends? Churches can become a place where everyone that goes to a church vote the same, think the same, believe the same, speak the same. But maybe it could be different at Shepherd's. One thing that I love about Shepherd's is that I know that there are people in this room that have voted and will vote differently than me. I know that there are people in this room that believe differently about creation and theology and a myriad of other things, a constellation of things, and yet we find agreement in very few. In a world of mute buttons and echo chambers, Shepherd's becomes a third place, a place where I can go and know that the only thing I agree with some people is that Christ's love is for everyone and that the table is open wide. What a gift, friends, that doesn't exist really anywhere else. We have this a quote here from Diana Butler Bass. It says this: if we think of belonging only as membership in a club, organization, or church, we miss the point. Belonging is the risk to move beyond the world we know, to venture out on pilgrimage, to accept exile. And it is the risk of being with companions on the journey. God, a spouse, friends, children, mentors, teachers, people who came from the same place we did, people who came from entirely different places, saints and sinners of all sorts, those known to us and those unknown, our secret longings, questions, and fears. We see then that this is a place that we are not going to be removed from conflict, safe from discomfort, but rather where we will find true belonging. Because friends, at Shepherd's, belonging won't require you to be less of yourself. It will require bravery. In the church, we will get loved, annoyed, challenged, encouraged. We will disagree on theology, politics, programs, and missions. We will laugh, cry, break bread, apologize, and offer forgiveness. But above all, we will belong. The sermon's easy for me to preach now. It's not an election year, although we do have midterms, I guess. I don't know. Whenever I see a sign, I pull in and I vote. But there will come a time, friends, where we will elect a new something or other. And I know, just like every other year past, we will look around at the people that we have raised our kids with, that we have worshiped with every Sunday, and we will begin to concoct a narrative that maybe we don't actually love them like we thought we did. And maybe that the opinion that they carry, the belief that they hold, makes them disqualified from the life that we have shared together. Friends, don't let it be so with you. It happens in churches all over this country, but not here, friends. Please not here. Let us instead know that belonging won't require you to be less of yourself, and it will require bravery. So, how are we going to do this? I've been yammering on about making community and being willing to be uncomfortable. Well, the first is that you have to accept that to create community, you must be willing to be awkward. Awkwardness, friends, is the greatest fear that I've seen many people possess. This fear that you'll introduce yourself to someone that you have introduced yourself to already. What if you start a conversation with someone and you get through introductions and then you don't know what else to say and then you stand in dreaded silence? That fear of awkwardness is so powerful, it ends up keeping us reserved and isolated, and we miss out on the power of interdependence. Our community is made weaker because we fear the great pain of awkwardness. Friends, I've been given some spiritual gifts that I am so grateful for. One of them, chief among them, is that I am very awkward, and I'm so grateful that I get to do that. In fact, I anticipated a laugh there, and no one did, and so here I am, just standing here, looking a bit like a nerd, you know? But because I have been able to be awkward, by God's grace, I have been able to have deep, meaningful conversations with people that I would never have met before. Now, that being said, don't think that I'm the sort that can start conversations with strangers all of the time. There are times when people are friendly and I'm wondering why I don't want you to be friendly. But here is not one of those places. I cross that threshold and I know that it's time to meet some new friends. I know that it's time for us to sit in that awkwardness, to be okay with saying, "Hey, Bob," and come to find out her name is Brenda. And you're like, "Wow, I really got that wrong, didn't I?" You know? "Hey, it's so good to meet you. I have known you for 4 years. "Oh no, that's so embarrassing." That awkwardness actually won't kill you. The human body can actually withstand a certain level of awkwardness. And if you're going to create community, you're going to have to be comfortable with a certain level of awkwardness. Accept that, you also have to accept that in order to be in community that lasts, you will need to be your whole self. You know, there are so many relationships at work or at school, you know, maybe even in the neighborhood where you can give just a little bit of who you are. Your name, your wife's name, your kids' names, what you do for a living, and that's all. It's easy to have those sorts of relationships where you're able to just put a little bit of who you are and get a little bit out of that relationship. Friends, that's just not going to work in church. It's not going to work if you're going to have a real Christian community that can make it through deconstruction and reconstruction. You're going to have to be able to give your whole self. So I'm so grateful that I'm able to do that here at this church, that I'm able to be your pastor, but also I get to be Michael, a child of God. And I can do that, friends, so can you. So, you know, sometimes we'll say, "Hey, how are you?" "I'm doing great." And then we have a deeper conversation. I find out that you've lost your job, your house is foreclosed on, your cat ran away, and all the food in your fridge got spoiled. And then I say, "Are you actually good? Because if this is good, what's bad? Like, I don't know what the basement is below this." And if we could be our whole selves, we have a chance to have a community that can last. And here's something also important. If you want everyone to think like you, you don't want community, you want clones. And the technology is just not there yet, friends. You know, keep praying for that, but we don't have clones just yet. If you want community, you're going to have to be with people that don't think exactly like you. And this is important. Never accept community that makes you stifle who God made you to be. There are so many communities that want just a little bit of who you are, but not those ugly bits. Get those worked out before you show up. That's just not who we are here. And there's also communities that are going to make you identify the things that God made within you, God created you to be. And they're actually going to say that those things need to be changed. And we are going to know that God made you in God's own image. You don't need to change those things. You're going to show up with how God made you to live, to love, to think, to serve. All of those things you're going to come with, and they're going to be messy, and we're going to be grateful for the offering that you bring before the Lord. We're not going to make you have to pretend that those things have to be stifled or pushed down. We look at the beginning of the Bible. It says that God created all of humanity in God's own image, which means that who you were made to be is in there, and it is a reflection of God's whole image. We take that and we run with it and we say, we actually can't be like God unless all of us are together. Our creed says that we believe in the holy unified church, which means I can't be holy without you. And you can't be holy without all of us. None of us can be holy without all of us. The gifts and abilities that you carry free us to actually know God. You see, at Shepherds, belonging won't require you to be less of yourself. It will require bravery. So, how are we going to do this? I always want to leave you with an action point. I don't want you to just hear a sermon, a couple of jokes, and move on with your day. I want this to bug you for the rest of the week. Some of you got field note journals, little brown journals. I want you to write down these two action points. If you don't have them, there are some at the welcome table. You can grab one on your way out, but it's this. The first is I want you to commit to belonging with your whole self. If you've made a connection here at Shepherds, if you've talked with someone and you've shared just a little bit of who you are, but you know that you're holding something back, I want you to revisit that relationship and share a little bit of who you are. Share a little bit more of your story. I've been lucky enough to know almost everyone in this room, and if I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, I can't wait. And I can't think of one person that would hear your story and say, ooh, gross. Keep that to yourself. I can't think of one person that wouldn't be honored to be the recipient of your story. When I was in college, I was a part of this small group that we called House Church. You've heard me talk about, if you've been to Shepherd's, for a little over a year or so, you've probably heard me talk about this House Church before. And it was a Bible study. We met together, and friends, when I tell you, the first couple of weeks, first 9 weeks, 10 weeks were the most awkward experience of my life. I would show up, I would sit in silence, I would nurse a Coke, and I would try my best to just count down the minutes until 9 p.m. because that's when The Office came on. I'm showing my age, but The Office was live. And Hulu didn't exist. And so at 9 p.m., House Church stopped and The Office came on because I needed to know what was going to happen with Jim and Pam. And so we would just sit there in silence till The Office came on, and then we would watch The Office in silence, and then we would go home. And I would go, wow, that was awkward and uncomfortable. And I felt out of place. I felt weird. I felt that awkwardness spring up. 9 weeks went on. Until finally someone in the group said, hey, prayer request time. I feel, and we would share prayer requests. We'd be like, yeah, I got a test coming up. I lost my job. I got a new job, whatever. We'd share those things, real surface level sort of things. And then someone said, I have a prayer request. And it took them a minute to actually say it out loud. And they just said, through tears, I feel like my life is falling apart. And I looked around the room, and friends, honestly, my first thought was, wow, that's so awkward. I can't believe they just said that. That's so uncomfortable. Why would you say that in a group full of people that you barely know? This is so weird, so awkward. And then I looked and I realized that people were drawn to this honesty. I could see the awkwardness, the guard, the boundary that we had placed fall off of them like scales from their eyes. I saw the walls break down at the shout of this honesty. Then we all got up, and as we walked over, I could hear the clinking of the awkwardness fall away, the lack of connection fall away, and I could feel the power of the interdependence as we put our hands on this new friend. We prayed for them. And then we prayed for them when we found out that their life actually wasn't falling apart, and that their life wasn't actually over at 26, and that something new was coming, and it was beautiful, and it was powerful. And then as we got older and older and older and so old, and we got to see this life turn into this new beautiful thing, this testimony to what God can do when we think we're at the end of our rope. And that only happened because of the bravery of one person to say, I'm having a hard time. I need some help. I need to be a burden for just a moment because I can't carry this on my own. So commit to belonging with your whole self. Break down the walls, let them fall away like scales. And the second thing is this. This is very practical. The next time you try a small group, I want you to commit to being all the way in. That means you're going to cancel other things so you can make it to small group. You're gonna say no to other things so you can be there. And then when the first five times are so awkward you think you're gonna explode, you're gonna come maybe with like a fire extinguisher. So if you do explode, you can put yourself out, right? You're gonna go, you're gonna commit, you're gonna be all the way in. Those are the two things that I think will help you understand that at Shepherd's, belonging won't require you to be less of yourself, and it will require bravery. Friends, the world is in desperate need for a church that is willing to bring their whole selves. A church that is willing to create a community that isn't based on dues or fees or being in lockstep with the rest of the community. The world is in desperate need for a community built on honesty, our whole selves, and above all, built on bravery. Let's pray together.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week. Be blessed.